This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I know some of you listeners to the Paracast think that I tell bad jokes. Sometimes I make a DJ quip of that's it. Before we started, I just gave some kind of crazy, crackly voice. And Randall said, that sounds like a Dalek. But I will not do that voice on the air. I will spare everyone. You will not hear me sounding like a Dalek. So there.
Which might be good, because you sounded exactly like a Dalek, and they are very irritating. You know, like if you run into a group of Daleks unexpectedly, you know, in a dark alley, you could be having a bad day.
It'd be a bad hair day, because it makes your hair stand on end and change colors and everything.
And go all curly.
My hair used to be
like
curly.
Tom Baker's.
Oh, gee. That would be nice, be like Tom Baker. Do you know that the actor who plays Alfred on Gotham, the Batman prequel, Sean Pertwee, is the son of a Doctor Who?
No, I didn't know that.
That's right.
You know all this stuff.
Look it up, my friend.
Just be fun at parties.
Yes. We were talking here briefly before we started with our guest. But that's enough nonsense, folks. Enough stuff and nonsense. We're going to actually do a show here, an episode of the Paracast. And our guest is someone that we kind of got set up at the last minute, which meant that there are no questions from listeners. A fellow named Kevin Ian Beagle. And we're going to talk about folklore and legends in the paranormal. All right? And just to give you a little bit of a background, he has a master's degree in education, and he wrote a thesis focused on Native American educational outcomes and using folklore and legends to show common human experiences. Now, that sounds like a pretty interesting thesis, Kevin. Welcome to the Paracast. Tell us about that first.
Well, yeah, thanks very much. Well, it's an interesting thing. I grew up in Ireland, Northern Ireland. You know, it's like, you have to come on to the show and like start. I'm from Ireland / Northern Ireland, and you guys maybe understand what that means. So I'm British and Irish, but as you went through life when I was growing up, part of the thing about it was is that we all seemed to have these archetypal folklore and legends that should technically bring us together, but didn't. So when I moved to America later on, part of the thing that happened was I was teaching primarily on reservations and in the United States, and whenever I did that, there was only the way to bring people together and a lot of ways to actually show the different ways that humans can connect was to actually teach some Irish folklore, at which time they would go home and talk about their native folklore and bring it back, and at that point in time we would discuss it and class. So it was the commonality that brought people together. A lot of people, you know, when you're going to First Nations groups and everything like that, they say, I can't get my children to be interested in all the old folklore and stories and things like that. And they're very afraid that it's going to die out. But in a lot of ways, whenever you compare that to something else, and then they go home and are asking the elders about some of the stories and then compare and contrast it, it was a perfect way to bring it in. So
that sounds really interesting. So can you give us a couple of examples of how there might be some common folklore and legends between, say, the Native Americans and the people in ancient Ireland?
Well, yeah, sure. You know, the interesting thing is that in a lot of ways, for example, you know, like the archetype of the raven, is exactly the same way. The raven and the salmon I live on the West Coast, everybody. So if you know, I'm not, I do need to say that I'm more aware of West Coast folklore than I am other places in the United States. And I'm not one of those people that pretends that Native Americans or First Nation people are a monolith. They don't all believe the same thing. But in this area here, the meaning of certain spirit animals and things like that are exactly the same. What was interesting to me is that in Celtic folklore and Pacific Northwest folklore, you've got Sasquatch and Woodwose, Woodwose being a Celtic Bigfoot, and you've got these stories that are brought back through time and giants and all these different things. Even the Bakwas, which is a small little hairy being with red eyes that that a lot of people in British Columbia talk about. We had that. When I was growing up in Ireland, they were called Puka. Puka were small, level, hairy beings with red eyes that were shapeshifters. And so this is the type of thing where we do have all these stories of little people from around the world and everything like that. It's more common than not. And so, part of the thing that I want to talk about or always sort of research is that we do seem to have this type of experience that when we dig into folklore around the world, that we've been experiencing these things supposedly divergent of each other for as long as we've been here, and marking them down and putting them in art and everything like that. And so somehow, I mean, it's not always universal, but in a lot of ways, you can make the case that little people stories are around the world, and what little people could be. People are making the argument that little people are just little gray areas that we've been seeing since time immemorial.
Right, like when I first heard about Bigfoot, for example, it wasn't about the Bigfoot that we typically think of in North America, like Sasquatch. They called it the Abominable Snowman, and it was a creature that lived in Tibet.
Right.
So, they've got that over there. And then when I was growing up, my family comes from Northern Europe mainly, some Ireland in there, and Denmark. And they had these little people called Nisa men, which were kind of like the Smurfs, which I guess that cartoon show actually has kind of a mythological background in it as well. And, of course, over here we've got, the same kind of thing that's gone into our mythology around Christmas and everything else, except now he's big and giant and red and wears a suit and drinks Coca-Cola. But it's amazing how there's all these connections, for sure.
Well, yeah, it is fascinating in the fact that we as a people, if you go to the roots of it, the nuts and bolts, the roots of it, these things are changed throughout time. Of course, you've always got to look at through the filter of the time. And as you go through it, like the legend of the Green Man, for example, you can look at that. And as we talked and we went through time and the church changed some of the different things that we were trying to interpret and everything like that, you can make the historical argument that the nature spirit became Robin Hood, for example. Actually the stories change throughout time because things always change. And so rather than it being a flesh and blood person that was Robin Hood, you could say that nature sort of provided for everybody. It gave from the rich and gave to the poor. In other words, the forest provided. And It's not always the way that you think about it, and that's the way you have to go back through these different things and sort of research it. But a lot of people do that, and things get changed in that way as far as what Santa Claus is and everything like that.
Ah, okay. I can't wait for this to continue. Fascinating discussion. I'm sitting back and enjoying this. Kevin Ian Beagle with Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
This week, Randall's in the seventh dimension. He can't do the fifth dimension because we got him to say his name backwards. All right, but there's a joke that fell on deaf ears.
Ladnar.
All right.
Go. It's very Viking sounding.
Yeah, I think that is.
Okay, so basically Randall was a Viking in earlier life.
I think that's interesting, too, because I've met Tom Baker, too, by the way. I mean, a lot of people don't know that.
Oh, but, cool. Did you have the big scarf on?
Yes, it was. You know, like this was back, man, I'm trying to think about when it was. It was like 1980 or something. So you had Tom Baker and then Peter Davidson, right? And then you had Colin Baker. And I think it was right at the start of Colin Baker where I met Tom Baker. And I remember not being that sort of nice to Colin Baker because we were very disappointed, you know, because there's nobody like Tom Baker, you know, like I said, you know. It's just,
yeah, everyone has their favorite Doctor Who.
It's what I grew up with, you know.
Yeah.
So. Well, speaking of Doctor Who, by the way, the predecessor to Tom Baker was John Pertwee.
Right.
Of course, he's the father of Sean Pertwee, who plays Alfred on Gotham, the son of a Doctor Who. Very quick before we go back to the folklore and stuff, have you seen the new episodes with Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor?
I have. I like it. I mean, I really do like it. It's, you know, but this was the thing, right? Like, I'm such a nerd that I can remember when we were, like, counting down to the 12 iterations of Doctor Who. We were like, okay, we've already got past this. We can only have 12. You know, we were like, the next Doctor Who is going to have to last for a long time, or we actually thought they were going to have to end the show.
Right, that's part of the mythology of the show, where right, that there can only be 12 or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like I say, you know, it's kind of fun to think about it now that, you know, like this is it, you know, like, we were so bought into it that we really, really thought this was going to happen, that was going to stop. But I think it is good. I think it's a perfectly logical thing to sort of explain the experiences of another person throughout their travels through the galaxy. I mean, you know, we do humanize Dr. Who, but who's to say that he didn't have other interactions with people or experiences that we maybe have to, like, bend our head around, you know, like on Star Trek, whenever Kirk kisses a Uhura, you know, and I was like, a mind-blowing thing that, you know, you could have an interracial kiss on TV. You know, it's a thing where, you know, obviously if you're talking about a Time Lord, somebody that can, you know, talk about all these different things, maybe that should push us past what we're comfortable with.
Well, that's what science fiction does. It makes us think about all of these various issues. It's done that from the very beginning. It's one of the reasons I personally also love it a lot. But getting back to what you were just talking about before the last break, you mentioned something called the Green Man. Now, for those of us like myself who have never heard of the Green Man, what exactly are we talking about here?
Well, I mean, it comes back to a day whenever in prehistory, well, we get a lot of ideas about what we think about history by, believing that's a Celtic idea or this or that or whatever. But, you know, obviously Stonehenge and megaliths and things like that were not built by Druids or Celts or whatever. I mean, those are people who occupied that space later. But these proto-Celts is what I call them, the people before the Celts. They obviously believed in a lot of things. They were very, very interested in nature. And if we're so dialed into it, you know, again, this is another thing where you can look at the astronomical observatories all over the world, that they were tied into the sun and the moon and, you know, these ties for planting and everything like that. Well, again, we're sort of making that up. We have no idea. You know, it's kind of like a lot of different things. We're just putting our projections back on the past, but obviously they were so tied into nature and the way that we think of most indigenous peoples around the world, that they hadn't really understood the dominion over nature. And so the Green Man is kind of that sort of hearkening back to say that, you know, as the year progresses, the Green Man lives and dies. Obviously, you know, that's one of the things around the solstice and the summer solstice and May Day, for example, that, you know, the year progresses and dies and he meets the, the Queen of the May. This is why a lot of people still celebrate May Day and have maypoles and everything like that. This is all pagan stuff. But it has to do with planting of it and understanding that the earth recycles itself and all these different ideas that we sort of don't think about now because we can get whatever foods we want whenever we want, and we don't have to think about we're on nature now rather than being in nature or part of nature. And so this is one of those things where, you know, a lot of people use those ideas to try to bring us back.
So it's more of the Green Man then isn't so much a specific character in mythology like, say, Thor, but more a metaphor for the nature spirit. That is that what you're getting at? Or is there an actual character within the mythology that is known as the Green Man?
Well, the Green Man is often represented and you can see this in a lot of different churches. You can see these flower sort of leafy heads that are on church buildings and things like that. Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, I don't know if you ever had to do like an Arthurian legend part of your high school stuff, but you know, that's basically what that's about. In a lot of ways, you're talking about the Arthurian legend of Sir Gawain, who's the most purest person, and the Green Knight being the representation of nature, and regardless of how pure you are in word and deed and everything like that, that nature's still going to. It's still too soon to talk about the spoiler. It's a spoiler alert at the end of it. You know, it was only written 100 years ago. I don't want to be responsible for letting that out. But
yeah.
But the key thing about it is that in the end, you know, Sir Gawain understands that he is human. He is less than perfect, and that nature again has. And nature again will come back and forgive you, because this is the type of thing that we try to talk about. These sort of ancient spirits, really sort of being forgiving to humans who really probably shouldn't take the earth as a possession. You know, in the end, the earth doesn't need us. I mean, we need it, but that's one of those things that a lot of times, people don't realize that, that's the message that has been here for a long, long time. It's just like, yeah, if humans all die, don't worry, the world's going to be all right.
We got more with Kevin, Ian Beagle, and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee has given the Trump administration until Monday to voluntarily turn over documents related to White House security clearances. That action follows reports about how President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner got his clearance. Last month, the New York Times asked Trump if he pushed for that.
I know that there was issues back and forth about security for numerous people, actually, but I don't want to get involved in that stuff.
Oakland Public School teachers end their strike after negotiators announced a tentative contract. Union President Keith Brown says there's a pay raise and support staffers will be added.
More counselors, psychologists, support for new students, and bonuses to help nurse recruitment.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Hello, I am looking for a special soul from the GCN audience to hire to come to East Ridge, Tennessee and take care of two peaceful, easygoing people, which are a sweet 95-year-old woman and her 60-year-old son. Terms would be free room and board, plus the use of all of our facilities here at home, in exchange for living with us and seeing to our needs. We must have someone that fits in well. We get along with most anybody and value those who like to do the same. We live in a suburb of the scenic city of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Please email Matt at peaceaboveall.net for additional information. Please include your informal resume stating your strengths and weaknesses and reasons you would make a dedicated caregiver. We would also offer to negotiate a nominal salary in addition to everything else. Again, please email matt@peaceaboveall.net. Thanks for responding.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal. This is Hilly Rose, longtime paranormal broadcaster, and I hope you will listen to the Paracast.
In the folklore, Kevin Ian Beagle knows his stuff. Now, when you talk about green men, of course, you think about the common critique of UFOs. Oh, they're piloted by little green men.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it's gray aliens, but green man is the one they use to say, oh, it's there's nothing to it. Wow. But it's become a pejorative.
Yeah, it absolutely has. This is where I'm going to put the boat out, guys. You know, I'll tell you a story of when I was a child, and then you're going to think to yourself, oh, man, I don't know if we need to talk to this guy anymore. But
perfect. Let's hear it.
Okay, well, so, you know, again, I was raised in a small little village in Ireland. I always tell the story that, you know, everybody in that village had lived there for 5,000 years. So, you know, the question of inbreeding was not a question. You know, like our family tree went straight up. There was like 200 or 300 descendants of this same thing. But we all believed in, you know, nature, spirit, woods, stuff and everything like that. And my aunts on that side of the family would always go up and give offerings to fairies. I mean, it's not uncommon that most people won't talk about it now, but it's not uncommon in certain different parts of the world. But, you know, even in Nova Scotia and Newfoundland and everything like that, they still leave out offerings for fairies. They'll just call it something else, you know. So we used to go up and we used to leave honey out for the little fairies under this tree. Me and my mother and I, and so we went up there, and this one time it felt a little different. You know, I was young. I was about five, I think. I had been up there a ton of times, never seen anything, never, you know, it's kind of a different thing. But this time a little head popped out of the bushes. Again, it wasn't hairy at all. It was totally smooth in the fact that it was a, you know, like a doll head, you know, like a doll head with big eyes, and didn't have any emotion on its face and everything like that. And then it got out, it ran around. It was like a 2 to 3 foot tall, sort of gray green thing with small, spindly arms and legs and, no clothes and a body on it. I went back to the thing, and my mom and I looked for it for a long time. We weren't afraid of it or anything like that. And then we went down and we talked to the different, people in the family. And, my aunts had all seen this thing at one or two times in their life, and it all started to experience missing time, after which I started to experience missing time. And, it was explained to me like it was a leprechaun. And, again, at that point in time, you didn't have close encounters of the third kind. You didn't really have everything else. But I've come to the conclusion that in a lot of ways, leprechauns are not little men dressed in green. But really, if you look at, because I do speak Gaelic, and you do have to understand the difference in the way that the language is translated, that it does mean little green men. It doesn't mean little man dressed in green. So, I mean, this is the kind of the whole idea of that idea where it does change and becomes a sort of a advertisement on a Lucky Charms box. But really, if you think about it, the little pot of gold is a small cauldron, and you can find this in old ancient Celtic things. Little dudes flying around in copper cauldrons that come down and take you away for days, and you don't remember it, and that's a sort of fairy abduction. And so I've sort of looked into a lot of the ideas of fairy abductions and UFO abductions as being the exact same phenomena. It's just that it's demarcated by a crash in the desert in Roswell, New Mexico. But it's something we've been experiencing forever.
Oh, yes. Cauldrons are really flying saucers. Are really what? But again, when you look at UFOs today and how the phenomenon has changed, say, from the 1890s when they were airships, I wonder 100 years from now if there is still a UFO mystery, what they'll look like.
I think that's the interesting thing about it. To me, we've all looked at it from a standpoint of UFOs being circular in nature and everything like that. But, a lot of these arguments that people make about that is that these wood ships that were flying, and I'm not sure what the Aurora, Texas craft looked like, but I think it is one of those things where, you've got some different types of shapes that are involved with it, sort of the cigar shape and a round shape, and you've got different balls and everything like that. And people say that those aren't connected in any way, but I mean, it seems to me that you've always had representations of plasma balls. You can see that in some of the old German woodcuts, and then you can see that in German film from the Foo Fighters in World War II, and now you're seeing that in people report orbs and plasma balls still to this day. And you've got sort of these ideas of cauldrons flying around, and you've got cigar shapes flying around. So it is interesting that, to me, that people say, oh, well, it's going to change over time. It's always changing. But, realistically, is that actually true, or is that them? I mean, I'm a nobody, right? I mean, nobody really knows who I am. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who are famous UFOologists who are going to say, oh, it doesn't, this lasts for a certain period of time and then stops and never happens again. And then something else happens on. And I'm just saying, maybe the research isn't all the way up to speed on that. Which I understand. I'm probably going to get death threats because I said that. But anyway.
Well, it's not like you can say everything right and please everybody in this field. That's for sure. I mean, with the story you just told, for example, that's going to seem really far out to a lot of people. And yeah. Other people are going to be going, I saw the same thing. Is that ever amazing? So there's another person in the world. I'm not the only person. I'm not losing my mind. Like I always say, I actually have heard enough case stories and personal experiences from people who I think are perfectly sincere to believe that I really do believe that these people are having genuine experiences. Exactly how to explain them, I'm not entirely sure. But there's just too many of these kinds of experiences to write them off as being inconsequential or not worth giving another thought about, whether they're children or not. I think the experiences of children are very valuable, and that too often they're just being written off as a wild imagination. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think you're right. And it is interesting that you whenever this happened to me, and then I started to experience visiting time after that, and, you know, my father was a doctor, physician, and my uncle was a physician, and basically they didn't say to me, don't talk about it, but they basically said, but I was lucky in the fact that they all had shows on TV that were questioning shows. I mean, you had back at those times, you've had In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy and Mysterious Universe with Arthur C. Clarke and all these different programs like this. And so, you know, they never took away the idea of it being something that, you know, is mysterious or whatever. I mean, it wasn't ever told to me like, okay, yeah, you're just crazy or whatever. But maybe they said, hey, maybe, you know, if you're going to join the army or whatever, you don't want to tell them and your psychological exam that you were abducted by an alien. But, you know,
in the days of the draft, that might be a way to get out of the draft instead of bone spurs. Well, I see green people. I see green aliens. Get rid of him. He's not 4F. He's 60F. Go by Kevin Ian Beagle and more to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now, please. Don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264, 800-213-9264, 800-213-9264.
Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Kevin the Ian Beagle is joining us, and we're talking about folklore and all the things that happened years ago and how they morphed into what we recognize today. I do want to throw one thing out at you, and it's not so much a devil's advocate comment, but just the fact that the Aurora, Texas so-called UFO or alien crash or visit or whatever it is very, very highly disputed.
Yeah, and I think that that's perfectly reasonable. I think everything should be highly disputed. Like I said, it is. When you take an academic approach to this, you've got to look at it from two standpoints. I mean, there's an emotional response to this, you know, and I could say emotionally, if you told me that the story that I told about my childhood was not true, I'm going to have an emotional reaction to that. I mean, I'm going to say, well, you're calling me a liar. You're calling my family a liar. You're calling all this stuff. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an academic response in the fact that you've got to be able to try to explain these things using the science that we have available to us. And so I think that's part of it. And so if you're in this field and you're going to report stories to people and they're going to put it in their book or they're going to say, you know, they're going to make a reconstruction of the story or whatever. You've got to understand that they're going to try to explain some of it. Now, what I always have problems with whenever people are doing reconstructions or trying to debunk somebody's story is that they'll debunk part of it. You know, like they'll say, oh, it's swamp gas. Well, that's fine. You know, you can say it was swamp gas. I saw this or whatever, but you're not explaining why I had a telepathic communication with something, you know? And so you can't, that's a sort of Project Blue Book sort of, you got 10% of the story that could be true, the atmospheric response, but you're not taking into effect any of the other things. And so that's, you know, what I always find is like, okay, here's one explanation for something that could be. And I'm never going to look at any of all the other things. And that's always bothered me. So that's one of the things whenever I'm researching these different types of things is people are really putting themselves out in most cases to try to explain a situation. Let's say, for example, somebody gets abducted and it's not a traumatic, you know, experience. Well, the first minute you tell somebody in the world that we live in, it's becoming a traumatic experience. Telling people is more traumatic, I think, than actually experiencing it in the first place.
Yeah, good point. You got to be careful who you tell. Yeah.
Well, it's one of those things where you do have to be very And I think this is why a lot of people don't report things, is because of the fact that you can get behind a lot of different people who, you know, they're trying to prove their theory. They're not necessarily trying to help you. And so that's the thing that you find people who say, well, yeah, I talked to this person and my story got changed around. It's not really what happened. And then it got hyped up and everything like that. And it's like, it's a very, very kind of a weird thing. And I notice now that since that people are trying to all make a lot of money off UFOs, which sounds crazy, but that's, you know, I guess now that we've got different conferences and books and everything like that, you've got Amazon and people can just look at these things on Amazon and buy the books. A lot of these people are making reports, having or signing an NDA or non-disclosure agreement, and then getting totally having their story changed around, and they can't really dispute it at that point in time. So it's a very, very funny thing, you know.
I wanted to throw something out while you're talking about it, just because I've written books. Very, very few authors of UFO books really make out.
Yeah.
Unless you, for someone like Nick Redfern, where you do a lot of them. UFO conventions can be a mixed bag. It's a lot of work, and sometimes you make a pretty decent income out of it, and I'll assume that the International UFO Conference is doing that. A contact in the desert must be doing that. But quite often, it's just barely breaking in. Just a little reality check. If you want to be famous and rich in the UFO field, it's a rare breed.
Yeah, learn how to sing and rap and then do that instead. You know, but it is funny because it's the same thing in Bigfoot world, too. I mean, you know, like other than the four people who were on Finding Bigfoot, I really don't think anybody's ever made any money in Bigfoot ever, you know. And then once the show's canceled, then they don't know how to go back to regular life, you know, in a funny way. Because at that point in time, they're still spend $300 and go out in the woods with me. And it's like, well, you know.
How do they put that on their resume? You know, what was your previous job?
I mean, that's the thing that, you know, it's the old sort of Aladdin's tale, you know, be careful what you wish for because you might get it. You know, they'll kind of the Midas touch type of thing, you know.
Isn't that what we see a lot, though, with these shows? Like, whether it's a Ghost Hunters type show or virtually any kind of, you know, UFO Hunters, any kind of paranormal show, there'll be sort of this interaction between the personalities in the show, and it'll get you kind of following them on a human interest level and to go out to some sort of an investigation, but inevitably, nothing ever really happens.
Wow.
Yeah, they come back and it's like, well, we didn't get anything from this trip, but maybe next week.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the key thing to remember is that you do have to create the soap opera element to these shows so that I know that it's not always like that, but it's like, you know, you've got the, you know, I always thought to myself, okay, well, if I was ever picked to be on a show, what would I be? I would kind of be the heavier fat bumbler who would fall down a lot and, you know, and be made out to be kind of, you know, simple. You know what I mean? It would be like, you know, and I think that that's one of those things where you end up knowing a lot of these people off, and I'm sure you guys do too. Some of these people have been in these shows and they're not anything like what they're portrayed as on the show themselves. And, you know, a lot of times they get very, very sort of unhappy about the way that they are being portrayed because they're very intelligent people.
Oh, yeah. We've heard more than one case where that's happened, and, you know, including our former co-host, Christopher O'Brien, who, you know, I always say have tremendous respect for, but he could tell you a few stories about that for sure. Returning now a little bit, though, if we could, to your experience. Now, you had the experience of seeing these little creatures in the woods when you were younger, and then you went on to have some experiences of missing time. Can you give us a story about one of those?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. The village that I grew up in was on the back of the Clandeboy Estate in Northern Ireland, and it's in County Down, if anybody wants to look it up. I'm from a little town called Kinleg, which, you know, you'll have a hard time finding. But but it was on the back of this big estate. And so those woods are up there. Those are the woods that I was talking about. And in the First and Second World War, they used to, have barracks up there for training soldiers to go to France. And in the Second World War, what was interesting, it was a U.S. base. And they used to train the 2nd Ranger Battalion, behind the house, so they had all these things up there. So we would always go up there alone or together and, go to these old locations and, kind of dig around and stuff. Well, so it wasn't uncommon for us to go out in the woods. And I know that people say, and this is another thing, whenever I was a kid, it wasn't weird to go out in the woods by yourself. Whereas
no,
now,
yeah,
and let somebody go out in the front yard by themselves.
That's so true. I grew up in BC, and I know exactly what you're talking about. I used to be very comfortable in the woods. Now I find it kind of like a creepy place to go. It's like I don't know if I really want to hang out in the woods much right now anymore.
That kind of applies in many places. Like when I was 8 years old, which is thousands of years ago, I could go to public school, and my mother would not object to it, would not think for the moment that the 4 or 5 block walk would put me in danger. Not at all. And she was right. There was no danger. But nowadays, if you don't have the school bus, you drive your kids to home, you have them take Uber or Lyft, you can't let them out alone until they're teenagers, older teenagers. More to come. Isn't this interesting? More to come on our kind of wacky episode today with Kevin, Ian Beagle, and Gene and Randall. From the 7th Dimension, here's Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.